I just love that song, Amazing Grace. Just the one we've just sung. You know, when you meet with and experience grace, you are always surprised. And I know C.S. Lewis wrote that book, being surprised by grace, or surprised by joy. When you're expecting something bad, when you know you deserve something because you've done something, whatever it is, and that's not the response you get. You just get love. You just get forgiveness. You just get acceptance. That's grace. And that grace is, it's a game changer. It's a world changer. It's a life changer. And I believe God's here this morning. His grace is really heavy upon us. And that means life change. That means life change. In prayers on Friday morning at the well, I walked in a little late, just at the end of a reading that Max had done. And as it happens, Linda asked him to read it again. And the gist of it was this. It talked about us, each of us, being all that we absolutely could be and have been created to be and have been called to be by Jesus. Just being all that he intends us to be now, here and now. And that was the bit that got me, and I started to think about this life abundant that Jesus offers us, has for us, died for us. And we read in John 10 just a few words. Jesus said again, he was talking to the religious leaders and other people. Jesus said again, "Truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep." And he said again, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will find life. They will come in, they will go out, and they'll find pasture. They'll find what they need. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come to bring life in all its fullness." That's Jesus' desire for each one of us. Life in all its fullness now. Here and now, today. That's Jesus' heart for us. I started to think after the prayer meeting on Friday when just that notion of the life that Jesus wants to give us, the life we could be living, the life that he has for us. And then I started to think about what are the things that prevent us from living that life? What are the things that prevent us from being the person that we were created to be? The person that when Jesus looks at us, the person he sees, he's not under any illusion about what we're like, but you know, he sees a picture of the us he created us to be, the us he died for us to be. What prevents us being that in the different areas of our lives? It'll be different for each one of us. So I was just thinking about those influences. I was thinking about elements of the past, the present, and the future. Yes, the future as well, and what an influence they can have on our lives. Jesus proclaimed, and we've heard it from John, that he has come and he came and he is here to give us life in abundance, life in all its fullness. And that life is a life to be lived now. And get hold of that. That life, that full life, that abundant life, that Jesus life is a life to be lived now. But for many of us, the relationship we have with the past, or the relationship we have with the future, can rob us of life in the present. The relationship we have with the past, or the relationship we have with the future, can absolutely suck the life out of us now, and can rob us of what Jesus intended, full and abundant life now. And I was thinking about those areas that I've just mentioned. And I wonder how many people here are chained to the past. Things that have happened. Experiences we've had. Things that we've said, or things that have been said to us or done to us. We carry scars, we carry wounds, and the past has so much have an impact and an influence on the present. And unless we can have that dealt with, we'll be living less than the life Jesus intends for us. So what is our relationship with the past? What are those things? And I don't want psychobabble where people go rooting around like amateur psychologists. We'll come on to what I believe how we can deal with this, but it's still a question to ask. Now, I don't know if you're anything like me. In my worst times, I go for a journey back into the past. I have a wander back into my past life and revisit some of the sins I quite liked, or you get pretty hurt by some of the things that hurt you. And I go wandering about there. I wish I didn't, and I wish I wouldn't. I wish when I got there, it was different. And we can have a relationship with the past that damages us in the present. And that is not God's intention for you or for me, because it robs us of life now. So I just want to ask, what I'm not going to do is give loads of examples of what that might mean. What I am going to do is ask the Holy Spirit to speak to each one of us. So ask the Holy Spirit to move now, just in a time of quiet, and begin to speak to us. Maybe about areas as we move on. We're going to move into communion a little later. Maybe about areas in our past that we still have a relationship with that we wish we didn't, because it's impacting us now. And just let him hold them there for now, because he's going to deal with them. So we can be chained to the past in areas of our lives. We can have a relationship with the future, and we can be bound by things that haven't even happened yet, because we worry about them, or because we're wishing our lives away, or because we're trying so hard or with so much money to get a bit more, because we feel as though if only we could get a bit more, we'd be content. And so we buy our lottery tickets and all the rest of it. Why? Because we are discontent with where we are, which means we are not living the life that Jesus intends for us. And we can have a relationship with the future that robs us of life now. Worry. Jesus, I know it's easy to say this, but either we believe this Christian thing is real, or we don't. Jesus says, don't worry. Give it to me. I'll deal with it. Now that's so hard, but guys, it's true. If it's not true, we may as well all just go home and never come back again. So if we're not experiencing that, we need to seek him. Because when he says that, he means it. And yet so many of us can be robbed of life now because we're worrying about what the future may or may not bring. We can't change it. He can. We can have a relationship with the past that chains us back there and prevents us from living life now. We can have a relationship with the future that binds us and prevents us from living the life Jesus has for us now. And both of those things, if they're not dealt with, rob us of the present. They rob us of full life in the present. And this full life is where we can really, really live as Jesus intended. So how to deal with the past, the future. You see, we have, I mean, it's that picture. Come on, give us your present. Come on, give us your present. I want to spoil it for you. Just have another journey back into your past. Have a bit more worry about the future. Come on, give us your present. I want to spoil it for you. That we get bombarded by that all the time. And Jesus says, I came to give you life in all its fullness. That's hands in the cookie jar now. That's what it is. That's grace. That's what it is. So how to deal with the past, how to face the future so that we can live now. Now. In the moment with Jesus, for Jesus, now. Well, sort of the simple answer, but it starts a journey that's not quite so simple, but it's a real journey. First of all, We've got to let Jesus in. We've got to let him in. We've got to make a conscious decision to say, Jesus, come into my life and sort me out. You died on the cross for me. So we just, that's the first step. That's the only first step. Come on in. That's not the end of the journey. That's the start of the journey. I was listening to the radio this morning on the way in the car, and I took his confirmation. There was a lady speaking about the number of people who she meets and works with who need care because of things that have happened in the past and things that haven't happened in the future. She actually said that. And she said she's seen so many people whose, what she called their natural survival instincts, kick into gear almost against their will and prevent them from receiving the care that can help them. And spiritually, we can be just like that. We put up the barriers. The hard heart. The shutters close. And that's it. And we've just said, don't want any help, thanks. I'll just live in the past, worry about the future, get robbed of life now. That'll do me. And I was thinking about this on Friday and this morning. We have a God whose focus is absolutely on us now. Absolutely about us living full life now, but we have a God who can still be active, wait for this, he can still be active in our past and deal with it, and he's active in our future, and our future's safe with him. We have a God who's with us now, who can still be active in our past, the things that have already happened, and change that. Change the impact it has on us. Change the people we are because of those things. And we have a God who's active in our future. And our future is safe in his hands. That's our God. He's a big God. And the cross spans our past, our present, and our future. Let him in. Let him in. He's a big, big God. So what does this mean for us? And this is where there are some absolutely mind-blowingly amazing truths in Scripture. A few weeks ago, Linda and I had a walk up Teesdale. I'm bragging, it's about the only walk I've done for a year. But anyway, a real walk. And I pointed out a number. There were some rocks that had been really, really changed. You could tell that once they were like a rock, a round rock. But over the years, the wind, the change, there were cracks and holes and all sorts in the rocks that had been changed by the elements as they'd been buffeted, the product of all the past influences. That's what I was looking at in the now, at that rock or those rocks. And I thought to myself, how would you go about repairing that damage to that rock? What would you do? How would you go about it? So there was dents and cracks and fissures and all sorts of bits. How would you go about repairing that rock? Rhetorical question. Filling them in with cement. And you know, Terry, I love you, Terry, because that's what we try to do with our lives. We try to fill them in. I didn't prime him, you know. We try to fill them in with bits of cement or polyfiller and smooth them over, but the holes and the cracks and the damage is still there. You know what God does? He creates a brand new rock. That's what he does. And in the Bible, it says we are given a new heart. You know, when our hearts have been broken and dragged through it and we're just completely at the bottom, whether it's through past, the Bible says, and again, this is true, right? He'll give us a new heart. He doesn't patch the old one up and put sticking plasters over it. He gives us a new heart. I don't know how he does that, but I've experienced it. I know he does it. He gives a new heart. God really isn't in the patch up and restore with sticking plasters business. He's in the new life business. He's in the full life business. That's God, he creates a new one. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they let Jesus in. Ask Jesus in. Once you're in Christ, you are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We were on. We were in the prayer meeting yesterday morning. What a holy church, praying on Friday and Saturday. We're in a prayer meeting yesterday morning, and somebody got a picture of people dancing on their own grave. And it was the grave of their old self that is now dead. Dancing on their own grave. People who have asked Jesus in, who have experienced now the new life, who have started the journey, but they realize that old self is dead. You know, sometimes the trouble is when we venture back into the past, we meet the old self again and we sort of invite him or her back. Don't do it. Don't do it. We are new in Jesus. Romans 12, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And again, let's ask the Holy Spirit into our lives now. And let him show us areas where we are being conformed to the world. Our attitudes, our actions, our inaction, whatever it is. Like we asked him in just to move into our past and show us those areas where we have a wrong or a bad or a damaging relationship with the past. Let's ask him to show us areas where we are being conformed to the world. Because he wants to deal with them. He wants to move into our minds and transform us that we're not being conformed to the world. And I believe these things are going to come together as we move into communion and Jesus begins to deal with areas in our lives. Because he is the God of the past, the present, the future. He's the God of all we are and all we will be and all we can be. I'm going to play a song many of us know. Just because we know it, let's not let familiarity breed contempt. Listen to the words, because this is our God. Some of the things in the song may resonate with some of us. It doesn't matter if they do or if they don't. This is our God. And in a moment, after this track, we're going to be invited to come to him. We're going to be invited to share bread and wine. And I'm going to say a little bit about that. When we do this, it's symbolic, but it's more than just a symbol. This is a powerful symbol where we remember and recognize what Jesus has done for us when he died. His body was broken for us. His life was poured out for us. And that's the bread and the wine. That's what we are remembering. But it's a very real and powerful remembrance. Anybody who loves Jesus, who wants to love Jesus more, and I'm going to go a step further and say, who is sincerely in their hearts seeking Jesus now, is invited. And you will meet him there. You will. If after or during the track I'm about to play, we've done this before, we don't overdo it, this is helpful for you. If it's not, it doesn't matter. But if you sense God is saying there are burdens, there are things in your life that you want him to deal with, then why not let one of these little stones represent that? They're in the basket here. And just come forward, take one, take it, and just put it down, foot of the cross, leave it there. Now what Linda and I are going to do is, they're our stones, so we're going to take them away afterwards. But I'm going to take them away and we're going to pray. We don't know what they represent to you. But we do know they represent something. And we do know they represent something that you've laid down and you don't want to pick up again. So we can pray, and we will pray. And God will work. God will meet you. And God will begin to deal with those things. So you can do both, by the way, stone and communion. You know, it's not like one or the other. You can do both. So I'm going to play this track. During that time, just let God speak. And if during that time you want to come up and take bread and wine, do that. If you want to come with a stone, do that. If you want to wait until after that track and Nathan's leading us in worship again,
God of the moon and stars. fragile hearts we are, I come to you. God of our history, God of the future that will be, what will you make of me? I come to you. I come to you, God of life and death, God of our secrets unconfessed, God of our every breath, I come to you, God of the rich and come to us, I come to you.